All right, who's ready for the message today? You guys excited? If this is your first time, we do celebrate like everything. So just get used to it because it's going to keep happening. We like to have the energy here because Jesus has saved our life. And so my name is Sean Jensen. I am the pastor here at Authentic Church. I do want to take a brief moment. I felt like I just want to take responsibility. I feel like I threw my team under the bus during worship. That was completely my fault. So don't look at them. They are some of the gifted musicians there. And I think we should give it up because they work super hard to make sure it's there. I was like, well. But who cares? Even if the lights went out, we're going a cappella on this thing because Jesus matters that much. So we've done that before too. So we're in the middle of a series called Sermon on the Mount Season 2 because we started this back in June and now we're taking over back in August. And before we get to it, I just want to talk about two things that have nothing to do with this message at all, just to bring light to it. First thing is, if this is your first time, we are super glad you're here. And I know that I already mentioned that. And we do. We think you're valuable. But I know you might have come in and said, this place, it's nice that we have our own building and stuff, but man, there needs a lot of work that needs to be done in here. Now, I just realized that we're getting new people, so I got to explain this. We got the building a year ago today. So we got like this place a year ago, which we're thankful for. We were portable, setting up, tearing down, setting up, tearing down. Sometimes I want to go back to that because sometimes people are more excited in those seasons than we are here. It's like, we made it. No, we got a lot more to still do for the kingdom of God. But with the building, we have actually, if you have not seen this place when we started in August, tearing everything out, you will not understand just how far our building has come in such a short time because of people who've given generously and who have worked generously, who've worked long nights and long days. And if you guys didn't notice when you pulled in, our whole building is finished. It got painted. So if you're here and you're feeling uncomfortable because the building looks like it hasn't been updated, it's because we're continually updating it. So we are making changes. It's not like it's always like this, and we're going to keep making those changes. If you've been coming to our church for a long time, and you are picking everything about this building and what we need to do, but you never show up at the nights when we serve, and you're not giving anything, just help us out and just keep your mouth shut, all right? Thank you, all right. So, no, I'm just kidding. Not really, but I'm a little kidding. Here's the reason why I say that. Because you don't know how much of damage you can do for people who are serving so much, and it feels like their work is unnoticed. Let's celebrate when paint gets on the walls. Let's celebrate when a new wall goes up. Let's celebrate with new floors. Let's celebrate with new areas, because someone sacrificed to do that. So that's why I was really trying to say it in my, you know, way where Liz will say, Sean, you need to be more gentle next time. I was like, yes, next time, but this time, no. No. We're going to pray. We're going to pray before. There's been a recent tragedy in our town of kids who went home too early, and family members actually come to our church, and she just said, Sean, can you please, would you pray for our family? I was like, absolutely, yes, because we're not a place that does not pray. We're a place that we're here for when people are going through the worst. And I said, absolutely. And so I'm not going to disclose names, but she lost someone very close to her in an accident. And she comes to our church, and if we're the church and we're her brothers and sisters, and guess what? Her skin color is not the same as mine. And that doesn't matter because we don't look at that. Because we're a church that breaks every barrier, even racism. I just want to throw that in there with everything our nation's going through right now. Because I didn't see that when she asked me. What I saw was someone who was going through hurts that I've been through, and I don't want her to have to go through those by herself. So let's pray as a church right now. Can we do that? Let's just pray. Take a moment to pray for them. Lord, I pray right now for this family. I pray your peace in their life. I pray your joy in their life. Not happiness, joy when it's hardest. And when they grieve, I pray that as we pray right now, that maybe in our hearts that we could step out and do something greater than just pray, that we could bless them if it's with food, if it's with a hug, whatever it is, let us become available to them. And I pray, Father God, that every obstacle can be turned into an opportunity through your grace. So I pray for that right now in Jesus' name. Bring peace where it needs to be peace. Bring peace. And Lord, it says that you're close to the brokenhearted. Be close to them right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. I appreciate that. I know we took a couple moments. I need to get back to my happy self. Contracts and covenants. That's the name of the message. We're in Matthew verse 5, we've been going through Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus is the author, and today there's only two verses. And last week we talked about this thing called adultery, and some of you are like, whew, I wasn't here last week. Definitely missed that one. Like, I dodged a bullet. This week we're talking about divorce, so it doesn't get real easy. Now listen, I've really got to be very upfront with you. It is a heavy subject, but in God's grace and mercy, he is healing people's lives right now through it. So before you've been affected by it, before you've turned off by it, because everybody in here has been affected by it in some way or another, there's hope in this message. And just when people left, their first time they came today, and they knew that God brought them here because they spoke exactly to their situation, and they're going home with hope and not with failure and burden. So we need, this message is important. This is what Jesus says. Remember, he's talking to the Pharisees who have the law. They think they're better than everybody. It says in Matthew 5, 31 through 32, he says this. You have heard the law in Deuteronomy says, a man can divorce his wife by merely giving her a written notice of divorce. But I say that a man who divorces his wife, unless she has been unfaithful, causes her to commit adultery. And anyone who marries a divorced woman also commits adultery. That is my text for today. So if you could do me a favor and just pray for me as a pastor, because this isn't something I would normally choose. Hey, this Sunday, let's talk about this. But God does something when we do stuff that we don't want to do, and he wants to. Matthew 19, this is a follow-up with the Pharisees coming to Jesus, trying to trap him about what he said on Sermon on the Mount. And it said this. I'm going to read through these, and then I'm going to explain it. When Jesus had finished saying these things, he left Galilee and went down to the region of Judea, east of the Jordan River. Large crowds followed him there, and he healed their sick. Some Pharisees came and tried to trap him with this question. I love that he's healing sick people, and the Pharisees don't even care. They just want to trap him with the question. Don't ever get like that. He comes in. Large crowds follow him. Pharisees come in. Should a man be allowed to divorce his wife for just any reason? I mean, like, she used wheat toast instead of white toast. You think I'm laughing, but this is a serious deal in this culture. Like, you're like, that's sexist. Trust me, there's worse things going on here. And they're like, can we just divorce her for any reason? He says this, haven't you read the scriptures, Jesus replied? They record that from the beginning, everyone say beginning, God made them male and female. And he said, this explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. Since they are no longer two but one, let no one split apart what God has joined together. Is it cool that in marriage, God specifically says, I did that? Then why did Moses say in the law that a man could give his wife a written notice of divorce and send her away, they asked. Now, you got to realize, before I go any further, they were asking a logical question before you go, oh, these punks. They were actually quoting scripture in Deuteronomy for Jesus saying, this is what scripture says. It says that we can write a contract of divorce. And so they're actually asking a question, even though they're trying to trap him. They're asking a question that makes sense to the people around them. They're saying, this is what the law says in Deuteronomy, Jesus. So why did Moses say that? And he says this, Moses permitted divorce only as a concession to your hard hearts, but it was not what God originally intended. And I tell you this, whoever divorces his wife and marries someone else commits adultery, unless his wife has been unfaithful. Jesus' disciples then said to him, if this is the case, it's better not to marry. Not everyone can accept this statement, Jesus said, only those whom God helps. Some are born as eunuchs, some have been made eunuchs. Kids, if you're in here don't know what that means, ask your parents later. And some choose not to marry for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. Some parents are like, don't ask me, I don't know. Let anyone who accept this who can. The name of this message today is called Contracts and Covenants. Lord, I pray that you would bless these words. I know it's a heavy subject. I know a lot of us have been affected by this, but I know that you bring healing in the deepest and harshest of situations. So we're not going to run away from these things. We're going to talk about them in the light of your gospel, and your grace is bigger than anything. So speak to us, lead us, encourage us. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're married, already been married, remarried, or you're single, you've never been married, this message is for you. Because you can take notes and you can learn and you can get prepared before you even married and see what God has to say about marriage so that when you make that choice, you can jump into it. Now, right now, I'm talking to everybody, but I'm talking specifically maybe for people in marriage or who've been in an argument before. I don't know if you've ever been in an argument before, but me and my wife, sometimes we get in arguments sometimes. We call it heated moments of discussion or heated moments of fellowship, you know, like argument. We're arguing. We're yelling. And we're getting into arguments. And I don't know if you've ever had this thought before. Like, maybe you're having an argument with someone and you've been going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And finally, in your mind, you think this thought. How did we get here? Am I the only one? Like, how did we get here? I mean, like, for instance, like, maybe the refrigerator door gets open, right? And it gets left open. And so we go, hey, who left the refrigerator door open? Which would obviously be my wife, because I am choleric. I put everything back. I close the dressers. I close the drawers. I make sure everything is right. She leaves the dressers out, so I hit my shin and fall over. She leaves the things open. She opens cabinets before I go to sleep, because she knows I can't sleep if a cabinet's open. And I'm like, you left the refrigerator open. And we talk about it. And as we're talking about the refrigerator being open, we say, I hope the milk is still good. And even though about the milk, how come we only have one carton of milk? Didn't you get 2 gallons when you went to the store last time? And while you were there, I meant to tell you that the cheese sticks are outdated. You need to make sure that your cheese sticks, when you go and get them, they're outdated, because I don't want to give my girls nasty dairy. And while you're at Walmart, did you happen to see that on the Wonder List that I put this on there? Because you didn't get this. I don't want fat-free French. I want the real French. I need the real stuff. I need to feel calories going into my system. I don't know what's going on. And even though we're talking about food, how come, you know, when you made that food last week, how come you had to judge my cooking? And why did you do this? And finally, before we get to it, we started about the refrigerator being open, and we end with something else happening over here. Anybody else that says, where did that come from? Yeah, none of you are real right now. So I don't know if you've ever been there, but I remember there's times when we get there and the only thing we can do is we can say, stop, stop, let's just stop. Let's go back to the beginning. Let's see where this thing started. Let's handle this issue. And guys, I found out that if your wife is crying right now, it's probably not because of this issue. It's probably because something that happened 2.5 years ago. And finally, just now, the refrigerator door being left open reminded her, you know what happened 2.5 years ago? I'm just going to cry now. And so when you ask her what's going on, it wasn't the batteries. It wasn't the chores. It wasn't the girls. It was 2.5 years ago when her best friend made this comment about what she looks like, and it's been tormenting her for 2 years. So let's go back to the beginning. Now, I know that we all have our own issues. We all deal with these things. I know I'm here to make you laugh. And obviously, I care a lot about my wife. And I married way up. Like, guys, the only reason I'm up here preaching is because of her and Jesus, but her supporting me. And I just want to let you guys know that in the story, we look at this marriage issue. And did you guys know that in marriage today, 43% of first marriages end with divorce? If you get married a second time, it goes up to 68%. If you go up to a third time, it gets up to 78%. 73% of young people have no fathers raising them. 73%. Because of divorce and because of these things that happen, other situations as well, and it breaks God's heart. And so when I talk about this situation, I'm not making light of it. I know people have been affected by it. Maybe it was a parent. Maybe it's you. Maybe it's a loved one, and you're going through it right now. Somehow we've all been affected by divorce. So it's a big issue, and our world has made it so normal. We see in the magazines and articles, it's happening weekly now, and people that we thought would be together forever are getting married, and it just shocks us because it's become so normal just to get a divorce. When you're done, just be done. We'll figure it out. We'll be happy. We'll still say we love each other, but let's go our separate ways. And it's become so normal, and I think Jesus thought in his mind, how did we get here? And so the Pharisees ask him, hey, it says that we can divorce our wife for any reason. She makes us mad. She doesn't please us. We can write a contract of divorce. What do you say, Jesus? And he says, hold up. Let's go back to the beginning. And he says this in verse 4. He says, haven't you read the scriptures? Jesus replied. They record that from the beginning, God made them male and female. And he said, this explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. Since they are no longer two but one, let no one split apart what God has joined together. He says, let's look at the beginning. See, guys, they quoted the law in Deuteronomy, and Jesus said, let's go back to Genesis when God created this thing. Let's go back before sin came in. Let's go back before hurt and pain came in. Let's go back to the beginning and see what marriage is all about. And this is what we find out. God created man out of the dust of the earth. He made all these animals. He made all these things. He said, I need something to govern and rule the land, and I'm going to create man. And he delighted in man. He loved it. He loved it. He looked at man and said, this is good. I don't know if you're here today and you think you're terrible or you're insecure and all these things. Can you just hear these words right now? He created us and said, this is good. He wants a relationship with us. And he noticed that man need a helpmate because, let's just be honest, man, like, right? We're the ones that climb ladders and try grabbing electrical. About got killed in here with Mark Lewis because he was popping electrical circuits in front of my face. And I'm like, what are we doing? We're men. Who cares, right? Like, and the wives are like, I'm not going in there. And he said, they need a helpmate. And what did he do? It said he took a rib from man. Can I tell you something, man? He didn't take a foot bone so you can put your foot on her neck. He took a rib from her rib so you could work alongside of her, not over top of her. He said, you need a helpmate who can do this together. Now, men, yes, we are called to be leaders in our household, but that doesn't mean we just make decisions without talking to our wife. We come together, we make a decision, but it's on us to say, this is where I feel the Holy Spirit's asking us to lead. We lead together. And he created it that way. He created a helpmate, and he loves marriage. He says, in the beginning, God put them together, and he said, in this way, the two will become one. God doesn't see me and my wife as two anymore. He sees us as Sean and Lizzie together, one. Have you ever been trying to super glue something, and your fingers get super glued together? I have, because I'm a guy. And you pull them apart and you find skin on both sides, right? Or maybe you get stuck on something and we pull it apart, you have remnants of whatever it was. He says, what God has joined, don't let anyone separate, even yourself. Because just like that super glue, you may not know it, but that person's a part of you. And it's a spiritual thing. God designed it. He created it. Could we just look back and say, when we looked at the meteor showers the last couple nights and the stars burnt up before they hit you and I, that God created this thing to protect us, that there's some designer. And if he designed this thing, I love science because it pushes me closer to God. If God designed this thing and he knows marriage, obviously it's not working because we see a lot of hurt and pain. I want to go to the designer and the creator and say, give me the blueprint because I want mine to work. He says, let's go back to the beginning. What God has put together, let no man separate. Initially, what he is saying is it's a covenant. You see, marriage actually resembles what Jesus calls us as a church. This guy, there's something deeper. God looks at a marriage. It says that Jesus, he's going to come back for his bride. Do you know who the bride is? The church. The groom and the bride. And he says he's going to come into one. We're going to be united with Jesus forever. And so marriage is deeper than just something that's now contractual and just hearsay. It's something that was designed by God, designed for God, designed for this earth, designed for you and I, designed for your kids. It runs deeper than just something physical. And he says, let's look at this from the beginning, because if I don't take it to the beginning, I can't do it. Do you know why God, I didn't tell you this, but the reason why Jesus takes it to the beginning is he's troubleshooting the problem. Every time you have a problem, if you are, you know, working with IT stuff, if the guys back here are doing the projector stuff and we have a problem, they go to the first part of it, the source, and work from there back, because you're going to find the problem if you go back to the beginning. So Jesus says, I could go back to the law, I could go back to a couple weeks ago, I could go back to the divorce you just had, or I could go all the way back to the beginning and troubleshoot this thing and give you a picture of what marriage was created for. And at that time, it was peace, it was joy, they came together, and we know that sin entered in. And Jesus was trying to make a point. And after he made this point, the Pharisees knew he was going to say this. They're waiting for it. I know what he's going to say. I created marriage. It's beautiful. He's going to give me a reason why I need to stay with my wife, even though she didn't do the things I want her to do. And they said this to him in verse 7. Okay, then why did Moses say in the law that a man could give his wife a written notice of divorce and send her away? They asked. They're like, okay, Jesus, we hear what you're saying. But in Scripture, in Deuteronomy, Moses, who we follow, Moses, who was our leader, who brought us out of slavery. God called Moses. God gave Moses the law so we could have it. And in the law that we learned about last week, it says that if I have a problem with my wife, I can give her a written contract that we've divorced and we can get divorced. What do you say about that? First off, don't ever try to trap Jesus. You think the Pharisees would learn? They don't. And they bring this up. And Jesus begins to talk about a covenant and a contract. A covenant and a contract. I want to do my best to help you understand. My grandpa and I were in Wisconsin back in the day. We were fishing out there, and we have no cell phone service. And it's kind of nice, but as a high school kid, it was very hard because that was the time when texting was getting really popular, and I was working on my texting game before the emojis. Like, we had to make emojis with, like, you know, the semicolon and the parentheses. Nowadays, I do that to some of these young kids. Like, what were you trying to say at the end? I'm like, that was a smiley face, man. It's like, there's actually a smiley face graphic. I'm like, no, going back. You know, and I remember my grandpa, we were out there, and he had one of these bad boys. Who remembers the Nokia with the snake? Come on. Who's still rocking the Nokia? Anybody? Don't raise your hand. We will throw you. No, I'm just kidding. We won't throw you out. We love you too. It's so crazy because you're like, some of you are looking at this thing. What is that thing? You see this cell phone. It's a cell phone. One of the first brands, Nokia, came on the block and was going crazy before Apple did and before all these things. And check this out. If you want an even better reception, whoop! Just in case you need to get closer to that satellite that they just put up recently. You know what I'm saying? Like, you guys never seen nothing like that. Some young kids are like, what is that thing? It's called an antenna. And it's cool. It's like switchblade. You know, like people, I don't want to touch this because usually people would open them with their, you know what I'm talking about? Anyways, we were out there, we were kind of in trouble and we didn't have service. And I had my nice phone, you know, at that time, which was like one of the first edition smartphones. And I said, hey, I was like, you know, I can't call anybody. The boat wasn't working. He goes, don't worry. And he pulls out his Nokia phone that you can play Snake on. And I just remember, I think my brother was in there, but I just remember laughing. I was just like, I was like nudging him, like, look at a load of this guy, you know? And I'm making fun of him, yet he's making a phone call, throwing this thing out. Burp, 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 burp. Makes a call, gets people out there taken care of. While my phone is sitting over there doing nothing. And I thought about that. First thing I thought about was, there's so many times that before we get married, we're kind of so, like, if I came to you and said, hey, either this phone, or I get my iPhone out and say, you know, choose this. Or even better, if I had a phone that didn't work but looked like a brand new iPhone, because I've seen those before, I said, hey, make a choice. Which one do you want? You're going to grab the iPhone. Come on, you're going to grab it. But if I told you, the person who gave me this said, if you turn this thing on, it still actually works, but the iPhone doesn't work, we base a lot of our decisions in marriage like that. We do. Oh, that's outdated. Oh, that's traditional. Oh, that's that. But man, does he look fine. And then you get married and realize it's broken. Or she's broken. And I thought about the contract system. I got to get going with something with this. I think about the contract system because nowadays we run in contracts. Everything we have is contract. Obviously, that was 10 plus years ago. And now what we can do is every 18 to 24 months, we can now get upgrades because Apple iPhone comes out with 15 upgrades or 15 different iPhones in about 8 months, so we got to keep up. And some of you are like, I'm an Android user. Okay, that's fine. But whatever it is, you have to update. You have to go on contract. And what we have is we have created a system of contracts in our culture. Contracts are normal. It's okay. And what a contract is, it's a legal binding between two people. But as long as that one person breaks that legal binding, the contract drops. And we can do away with it. So meaning, if I don't want to update or get an upgrade, but I want to get a phone earlier, I have to pay that amount to get that phone and some on top of it. Why? Because I broke that contract. And Jesus says, this isn't how marriage was supposed to be. Marriage wasn't supposed to be like, okay, sign this paper, we're married, but in 8 years when we have two kids and you don't look like you used to look when I first married you, you've broken my side of the contract, we're done with this. Let's get a divorce. He says, that's how we're treating. And now it's like, husband, I said at this time, we're going to write on the dotted line, and your husband's going through a hard time, and he's trying to provide for you, but he can't find a job, and he's working hard, and he's trying to figure it out, but he's not making ends meet, and you want a bigger house, and you want nicer things, and you begin to trash talk him, and you need something more, but you broke a contract, and because he's not fulfilling your side of needs, we break the contract. Because marriages are contractual. He says, no, that's not how it was supposed to be. The law of Moses made it contractual, but how it's supposed to be is a covenant. Sean, please explain to me, what is a covenant? A covenant, listen, a contract is put in place by law. A covenant is put in place by love. That sounds like something you say on Valentine's Day. Let me explain it. A contract is made by law. A covenant is made by love. We see covenants throughout Scripture. The Old Testament, the first part of the Bible, is the Old Covenant. The New Testament, which is where Jesus comes in, is the new covenant, all been positioned by love, because God's love for us. That's a map of Persia. And as I look at this, I realize that I went out into Relay for Life. I got to pray with them last week. And as I was out there, I got to hang out with one of my favorite people of all time, Sandy Lewis. And you know, you talk about that. She comes to our church. She takes care of cleaning in here and stuff like that. And her and her sister and other people, she actually is a survivor. And so because she's a survivor, she gets to run the survivor lap or walk the survivor lap at the Relay for Life. And so they asked me to go pray for her. And I was like, or not for her, for the whole event. And I said, I would love to. And while I was there, I was like, Mom, can you please get me a picture with Sandy? I want to get a picture with Sandy because I want to post it. I'm proud of her. I'm excited about it. I'm a proud pastor because I love you guys. And so I wanted to celebrate with her. And I was like, get a picture of us. And so we took a picture and I went home and I was like, I'm going to post that picture on Instagram because I want to show off Sandy because she is a hero. Because people think the hero is the person with the mic on stage, but she's the hero because not only did she defeat cancer, she's been praying for people for healing. She's been starting groups for people to be encouraged, and she goes out and does all these things. And so I took a picture with her and I post it. And while I was posting the picture, I was so excited. I looked at the picture again, and for the first time, because I'm ADD, I read her shirt. Because I didn't even notice what her shirt said. And I began to cry as soon as I read the shirt. This is what the shirt said. This is awesome. This is the picture I took. It says, doesn't she look way better than me, by the way? Anybody? Yeah. It says this. This is what her shirt says. My husband promised to love me in sickness and in health. He kept his promise. He kept his promise. Now, he could have said, listen, we signed on a dotted line. The law says we could do this. And you know what? The medical bills are high. And this may cost a lot. And sometimes you can't even get up off the couch because you're going through so much pain, which means I got to step up to work. And he could have said, this is a contract. I can do this because you're not meeting your end of the deal. Or he could say, no, a covenant is made by love. And I said, in sickness and in health. I said, until death do us part. I know that the bills may not come in, but I'm still going to be here. I know that you may be tired and weak, but I'm going to be your strength. I know that people may look at you when you have a bald head, but hey, maybe I'll shave my head. Maybe I'll be here. He didn't, but maybe I'll shave my beard. And that's pretty much the same thing for Mark. He said, I'm not going anywhere. And this is what Jesus is trying to say. He's trying to remind us that if we would actually look at Jesus in the church, he reminds us who's been unfaithful in that marriage. We broke the contract, but Jesus said it was a covenant. Guys, I have messed up so many times, and I'm grateful that Jesus didn't come to give me a contract because he could have cut it off years ago. But he said, Sean, I came to give you a covenant that even when you're faithless, I remain faithful. I'm here for you for the long haul. I'm still here for you. I'll keep pursuing you. I'll keep loving you, even though you are weak sometimes. And even though you don't know what to say, and even though you doubt. He says, there's a difference between a contract and a covenant. I gave my covenant to Noah. When I drowned the whole earth because of sickness and because of sin and death, Noah found favor in my eyes. And I flooded the earth. And when he came out, I promised that I would never flood the earth again because I don't want to do that to my people. And how did I show my covenant? With a rainbow. He says, this is your covenant, Noah. This is your covenant. I love you, and I'm never going to do this again. And he hasn't. He looks at Abraham, said, this is my covenant. You're going to have as many children as there are stars in the sky. And he kept his covenant. And Jesus came to keep his covenant so that when we're faithless, he remains faithful. And if you're here today, I wanted to just remind you that Jesus is trying to let us know what marriage is all about and what it is. And when we understand that, we can understand what he's trying to say in this picture. There's a man in the Bible named Hosea. Hosea had a weird calling from God. Hosea came to God and wanted to be used by God, and this is Hosea's calling. This is what God told Hosea to do. He said, Hosea, I want you to go find a prostitute and marry her. Now, before you leave getting any ideas, Sean said I could go to the strip club and find me a wife. No. And this isn't even a bash towards them either. I'm just trying to say, he had to go find a woman who was unfaithful. He said, go marry her. This is God telling Hosea in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. He says, go marry her, and she will have affairs. She will commit adultery. Actually, the kids that you have won't even be your kids. They'll be with other men that she slept with, even though you're married with her. Go marry her. What? What is God doing? Why would he do this? And so he does it. And he goes and does this, and Hosea goes through all this pain. He looks at his children. They aren't even his children, but he fathers them. And his wife goes out and goes with other men because he doesn't feel like he's worth it. And he was told to do this. And when she's out doing her own thing, God says these words in Hosea. He says, Hosea, go and love your wife again. God is telling Hosea to go and love your wife again. I would be getting out of this mess. But God was trying to show Hosea something. He said, go and love your wife again. Why? Because I want to show a picture of what I do for my people. And I don't know about you, but I'm not calling the God a prostitute. We've been that. And he said, I want this to be a picture. I want this relationship to be a picture that I'm faithful when my people are faithless. That I love them to the ends of the earth, that I'll still send my son, even though they were idol worshipers, that I'll still send my son, even though they're the ones that ran away, that I'll still send my son, even though they made the mistakes. I'm in this for the long haul. This isn't a contract. This is a covenant. I want my people back. From the beginning, I created them, and I want them to be in relationship with me. He says this is something deeper than just a contract. I'm grateful for a God that still takes me in, even though I run the opposite way. Even though I found myself to be like Hosea's wife. But he took me back and said, I'll remain faithful. Strong, what does this mean in my situation? He begins to answer these questions. He answers, he says, it's not contract, it's covenant. In verse 8, it says, Jesus replied, Moses permitted divorce only as a concession to your hard hearts. But it was not what God had originally intended. And I tell you this, whoever divorces his wife and marries someone else commits adultery. Unless that wife has been unfaithful. So he actually pushes the envelope. He says, listen, if you go through a divorce and there's been no infidelity or unfaithfulness in your marriage and you commit a divorce, you have now set your wife up to be put in a position of adultery. This is scripture. This is what he's saying. I guess what he's trying to say is divorce doesn't just affect you. It affects everyone. Sean, you said last week that his grace is extreme. Do you still mean that? Of course I mean it. Of course I mean it. If you've been divorced, if you've gone through divorce, this is not a message to put you in your sin and shame. This is to remind you that if you've already started a new marriage, that you can put God in that and you can make it work. This is not a marriage that says, you're out of luck. God's bigger than that. But it is to remind us what we need to be thinking about in our marriages. Because they're a covenant. And he says these things. He says, this isn't how it originally intended. You see, one of the hardest things to talk about with people sometimes is that we see so many bad things happen in our world, and it's heartbreaking. And this is, if I could, in one phrase, answer your question, when you say, why do bad things happen in the world? Why does this racism still happen? Why does hurt and pain? Why are these kids this young still happen? Why is death still happen? What about people who go to church, they're faithful, they love God, they give, they're serving, and these bad things happen to their family? Why do these things happen? Could I tell you what God will probably answer with? He would say what Jesus said in verse 8. This is not what God originally intended. You see, he goes back to the beginning and says, this is what I wanted it to look like. This peace, this joy, this love, no sin, no death. They would have lived forever, Adam and Eve. But he put a tree in there. He says, why would he put a tree in there? Because love can't be love without a choice. He said, I want my people to choose me, not be forced to love me. And he put a tree there. And he said, it's their choice. And I love this about our God. We want to shame him for giving us choice, but yet at the same time, we want him to make a choice when bad things happen. God is about free will and our choice until bad things happen. Then we say, why didn't you manipulate the situation? And I will tell you today, the sickness, the death, the things happening in your life, this is not what God originally intended. Sin brought this in. Sin brought it in, and sin is evil. But Jesus came in the new covenant, the new testament, to say no longer will death and sickness and sin have reign over us, that I have conquered it by the cross and through the grave, that when this earth is over, you will live forever. He killed death. He knocked Satan out of the game. That was his answer. But on this earth, we still go through these hurtful things. But this is not how God originally intended it to be. He said, people are separated from God. That's not how I intended it. I love my people. I love my people. Marriage is going through the hurts and the pains and people being raised up fatherless. And just because you're at home father doesn't mean you're raising your kid like a father. You got to be present too. And he says, we've seen all of this. And I want to let you know, just to give you some peace today, God sees your situation. He sees where you're at. And he wants these words to fly over your heart right now. This is not how I intended it to be. It breaks his very heart when the things we're facing don't line up with how he created it. That's why he sent Jesus. And through Christ, we bring heaven to earth. And heaven lives on the inside. We don't have to wait for heaven. We can bring heaven here. That was the purpose of us being answers to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Worship team, you can come on up. He says, this is not what I originally intended. And I tell you this, whoever divorces his wife and marries someone else commits adultery unless his wife has been unfaithful. Unless his wife has been unfaithful. Guys, can I tell you one thing? Until this morning, I was battling this message so hard because I didn't know what to say. I prayed. I saw it. I asked God. I got in a fight with my wife last night because I was so upset that I didn't have a word for this morning. I was like, babe, I don't know what to talk about. I don't know what to say. I know it's about this divorce issue. I know the Holy Spirit is. And when I try to do it in my own strength, I know that's not God. So I rest and I'm saying, God, speak to me. And she said these words. She said, Sean, what did God tell you to do from the beginning? And that's all I needed. Because honestly, I don't know. But when two people for the first time came up and said, this is our first time. And when you said the words, someone is thinking about this, you were talking about us? And I realized the love of God, his covenant with me, that he said, Sean, I'll be faithful even when you're faithless. When you don't know what to say, I know what to say. When you don't know what to do, I know what to do. He carries this relationship, if you didn't know. And my encouragement to you is there's pain in here because of this topic. And I want that pain to leave. It'll take time. But restoration starts today. It starts right now. I don't know what you've been through. I don't know if you're the one that committed the affair. I don't know if you've been unfaithful to someone. I don't know if you've been through all that. I don't even know your situation, but God does. And he wants to take you back to the beginning. Back to the fresh start. That's why Jesus came. We're sinners, full of sickness and full of the sin and hate. And when we receive Christ, he says, you're a new creation, just like you were created to be in the beginning. He's taking us back to the beginning today. And before we go, you say, Sean, what about me? Is there hope for my marriage? Is there hope for my second marriage? Is there hope for my third marriage and so on? Is there hope for me? Because I look at those statistics, I'm not even married yet, and that terrifies me. How do I do this? Put Jesus in it. You don't need 5 steps. Those will come, but you need Jesus. Because when you see how Jesus treats the church, you know how to treat your wife. When you see how faithful he is, we can be faithful to each other. And if you are broken, I don't know how bad it is, but I have proof today that he can fix it. Do you want to see it? Do you guys want to see proof that if you're going through some broken times, he can fix it? Who wants to see it today? You want to see some proof? Look at the screen. That's my mom and that's my dad. Now listen. Some of you I know like have no idea. That's my mom right there. I told her I didn't warn her, so now she's going to be crying. It's okay. I don't do this just because they're my family. I do this because this is really close to my heart. They got divorced when me and my brother and my sister were young. My sister wasn't even a year old, and they were done. I remember my dad telling me on the way to church on a Sunday, as he had all 3 of us, he said, your mom and I decided to get a divorce, and we just cried. We didn't know what to do. And I'm sure it was hard for my dad to even have to share that news with me. I can imagine. And so we did our own thing, and we stayed at my mom's, we stayed at our dad's, stayed at our mom's, stayed at our dad's, and the enemy was happy because he broke something apart that he wanted something together. Now this picture is not a picture of their first marriage. This picture is a picture of their second marriage when they decided to get remarried. And I say this because it was back to the beginning. Me and my brother and my sister got to stand up there with them. And some of you still feel like there's no hope. You have no idea the pain that was happening in our family. My mom would pray for my dad's plane to go down in the Pacific on the way to Japan. Melissa Jensen? No. Yes. Picking fights in the bar. Some of you might have saw her there. And trust me, my dad knows too. He didn't have everything right either. He would never say he did. And we would pray in front of my mom. Lord, bring my parents back together. Lord, bring them back together. Bring them back together. And years later, me and my brother were stepping out of Prairie Central basketball camp. My mom came and picked us up, and there was clothes everywhere in her car. It's clothes everywhere. And we're like, what? She's gone crazy. Well, she's already gone crazy, but she's got crazier. And we came in. I was like, Mom, what's going on? She goes, get in. We're going to your dad's house. You're going to help me move in. We're like, wait, what? What'd you say? We're like, now? And not too long after that, at a Riverman hockey game, my dad was so romantic. At a Riverman hockey game, in front of everybody, will you marry me again? Will you marry me again? And I bring this story to bring hope to your situation. God's not done with you. He's not done with you. If you've been faithless, he can remain faithful. And he can work as long as you give him something to work with. And I don't know who this is for, but there's people who've had this talk already this week. God's not done. And I know there's no more joy. It's like, Sean, I don't like this anymore. I'm just doing this for my kids. I'm just doing this for these people. Stop doing it for just for them. Put God in your situation and say, I'm doing this for me. And as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve Jesus. We may not be perfect. From this day on, make a beginning in me. And if you've committed an affair, if you've been in that pain, give it to God today. Don't live in your past anymore. Jesus' grace is big enough to clean it and get you to the beginning. It says this as we close. Hebrews 9:15. That is why he is the one who mediates a new covenant between God and people, so that all who are called can receive the eternal inheritance God has promised them. For Christ died to set them free from the penalty of sins they had committed under the first covenant. He says, we're in a new covenant. And in this covenant, Jesus promises to always be there, but you have to receive it. It's a choice because of love. Are you willing to make a choice for your life? And are you willing to make a choice for your marriage? Sean, I'm on my third marriage. That's okay. Bring God into it. Sean, I'm on my first marriage. I don't know this whole thing about God and what it looks like. It's fine. Just invite him into it. You're here. You're inviting him into it. Find time today. Grab your wife's hand. Say, we're going to invite God into this marriage. Sean, I'm a single student. I don't know anything about it. Get God into your life so that when that girl comes along, you say, hey, God's the most important thing in my life. You're number two. So if you're cool with that, that's cool. If you want to be number one, later, swerve, right? Because only God can bring the healing and the satisfaction you need in your life and in your marriage. Jesus is life. End of story. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for what you've done in our hearts today. I thank you for them under my voice right now. I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would open up hearts. If you're here today, eyes closed. This is a safe place, but I want you to be completely open and vulnerable. It says, confess your sins one to another, you'll be healed. So right now you say, Sean, I need God in my marriage. I'm choosing today for this to happen. I don't want to treat this thing like a contract. I want to treat this thing like a covenant. If that's you, with eyes closed, could you lift up your hand? I want to pray for you. I believe in praying together. Thank you. Any other married couples that say, I want this to be a covenant. Thank you. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for those decisions, Father God, that say, today I'm choosing to put God in my situation. I pray, Father God, that doesn't mean they're going to be perfect, but you're going to begin to work. You're going to continue to work. And I pray, Lord, no matter what their past says, today is the present. And I pray that your grace is big enough to wash it clean. I pray that you would do that right now in Jesus' name. Give us a brand new start. If you're here today, you need a fresh start in Christ. You've never had a fresh start in Christ. That our sin is standing in the way of us and God. Jesus wants to knock the sin out and stand between you and God in the new covenant, in love. If you're here and you want a brand new start from all your pain, all your sin, all your shame, I mean, this is the first time you chose to follow Christ, could you lift up your hand? Say, Sean, today's the day. I need Jesus in my life. He's life. I need him. My life is miserable. I need him today. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Anybody else says, I want to join that person and I want to follow Christ today. Eyes closed. Thank you. Church, could you pray this after me? Say, Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die for my sin. Take me to the beginning, Jesus. I want a new start, a fresh start. Be with me. Lead me. I don't want a contract love. I want a covenant love. Thank you for being faithful when I've been faithless. I receive your grace today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's give it up for what God has done in this place already. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you guys so much for coming out. At this time, we usually go into a worship song, but I just want to say one thing before you head out. I'm excited about what God did in this place. I know it was something that maybe people are like, that wasn't really a pep talk or whatever, but there's one thing I do know. Me and our team are going to be praying for you this week that God would continue to open up your hearts to this message. If you have to, tomorrow night or Tuesday or throughout the week, get on roadhouse.church, pick this message back up. If your husband's not here, if your wife's not here, pick this message back up, listen to it together, and make a decision tonight or this week. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And we will make him number one in our life. And I promise you, if you make Jesus first, he will never make you last. I promise you that. But you got to put him first in this place. Thank you guys for coming out. At this time, the squad members are going to go out and they're going to set up the environments for you. Can we give it up for our volunteers that serve week in and week out? Thank you guys so much. Appreciate you guys very much. You're going to go out there and get those things ready for you. So, if this is your first time, I know we already welcomed you. We're glad that you came out. This whole thing has been designed for you to feel at home, and we're grateful you came. If you could do us a favor, in the seat back pocket right in front of you, there's a green and white Connect card. On that Connect card is a little bit of information, and on that card, you can also check 3 boxes for more information as well. If you fill that out and take it to the hub, we'll get connected with you, but we'll also give you a free gift. Spoiler alert, it's a nice coffee mug. You should grab it. It's awesome. Thank you guys so much for coming out. We'd love to see you here next week. Come on in. You're more than welcome, and bring all your friends as well.